Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me will have streams of living water flowing from within him. And the Lord, being a perfect teacher, gave us a perfect description of how God changes us or grows us from the inside out as followers of Christ. He said it would be like streams of living water flowing from within. And I don't know if you had the chance to visit Falling Waters, the house that Frank Lloyd Wright built in the woods nearby to here, and how they put that together in such a manner where the creation of the Lord and activity of people come together. It is quite an experience to go through that. Picture in your own home, if you would, a river flowing right through the middle of your home. You might say, well, better than a hot tub or something like that. A stream of living water, crystal clear, healthy, giving life to the house and to the inhabitants of your home. I don't know if anybody has built that, perhaps somebody overseas. But you would say, what can happen with that stream of living water going through your house? You could say, well, if you knew what to do, you'd connect to the river in some way and have some fruitful vegetation growing in that house, something that would be healthy and bring strength to the house. You might say, well, you can wash your clothes in the river. You can wash yourself in the river. You can call others to be with you and have recreation in the river and experience all kind of love and joy and peace and togetherness because you were in the river. Walk in the river, you might say. The river gives life. Walk in the river. The Bible says walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And Jesus used a stream of living water to stand for the Holy Spirit working in our lives and how we yield to Him, and He brings life where there is no life. The Spirit profits for nothing, said Jesus. That's our own nature. But the Spirit gives life. And you and I as a believer are called to grow in God, walk in the Spirit. And so this morning, looking in the Scripture a bit and what Jesus said about how to grow as a Christian. Is it by our efforts or is it by the power and presence of God? And the Lord would say that any person who received Christ has the river of living water within him. You have the Holy Spirit in your life if you've received Christ. And are you? Does He have all of you? Are you in the river in fellowship with Him? And so, looking at a couple things that the Bible says. In today's Scripture, the Apostle Paul uses the Lord and the Spirit 12 times in a passage about how Christians function. So he's trying to let us know, 12 different verses, that God is the key if anything good is going to happen in your walk with Him. God is the key. And he's the one who gives spiritual life. And the key verse of the sermon is, we will in all things grow up into Him. In all things grow up into Christ. And thinking of growth and things that grow well, I happen to think of the redwood trees out in California. They only grow in certain parts of the world, and one of them is thankfully in California. And the redwood trees are the tallest trees in the world. And the tallest one, as far as I know, is 379 feet tall. That's incredible. If a tree's 50, 60 feet around here, it's really huge. 379 feet. It's taller than the Statue of Liberty. And then there it is. And one great thing about the redwood trees, they never grow all by themselves. They always grow in bunches. And that's because their root system grows even more fervently than the trunk of the tree itself. If a redwood tree is 300 feet in the air, it can have up to 900 feet of roots connecting with other redwood trees and making a very strong and a very incapable of being blown down type object. It's almost impossible to knock a redwood tree down. And so Paul said, the body of Christ, Christians grow as every ligament does its part. Connected to one another, and there's life with God there, connected to the Spirit, who gives us life. And so our life is from God. We can't pull it off on ourselves or produce it on ourselves. And so whoever believes in Christ, the living water flowing from within could bring life where there's no life in your own walk with the Lord, and growth where there's no growth. And this morning I wanted to use the chalkboard here, you might say, a couple times a year, pull it out, and look at some things that would help us grow from the liver. We will look at our lives and say, well, I'm not following the Lord the way I should be. I have to do more activities. And if I do more activities and get more committed, then I will grow as a Christian. That's not God's plan for our life. That's not going to point us to the living water when we try to improve on our own strength and with our own selves. It would be like trying to receive Christ on our own strength and get to heaven with our own efforts. Self-improvement is no more God's plan than self-salvation. When it comes to salvation, it's good to know, do I know Christ or do I don't know Christ? It's a life-changing decision that we make. And James Kennedy years ago initiated a question that is asked often to many people. We could ask it to our own souls this morning. Have you come to the point in your life where you know that if you were to die today, you know for sure you would go to heaven? If you just ask yourself that. You come to the point in your life where you know if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. For certain. And if you ask people, on the street, that supposedly 80% of people say, no, I don't know that. I don't know if I can know that. I don't know if I'm good enough to know that I would go to heaven if my life would end today. But God would say, hey, you could have life within you. You could have eternal life now as a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's something to settle in your mind if there's going to be spiritual growth at all in your life. It has to come from Christ. You have to get to the point where you realize, I have not received Christ. I'm trusting myself for salvation. And say, I forsake that. I forsake self-improvement and I turn to Christ for salvation. That He died on the cross for me and rose from the dead. And that is how we get new life from within. So if you've never done that, turn to Christ and do that. Boy, He loves you 100% and He's for you. He gives His life on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, rises from the dead. And He would say, who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. You could say, well, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, God raised Him from the dead. And then I will be saved. Not maybe. I may be saved. No, I will be saved. So get the salvation question settled with God. And then the growth question is settled in a similar manner. Self-improvement is not the way to grow. As much effort as we might want to put into it. New life with Christ is the way to grow. Beware of self-reliance and spiritual growth. Often we look at spiritual growth just on a horizontal level. I start off as a skeptic. I don't know if I should believe in God or not. Is Jesus real? Is He worth my surrender to Him? Then I become a seeker. Yes, I'm open to Him because God drew me to be. And I turn to Christ. I'm converted. That's that life-changing decision you make. And then you become a growing disciple. You learn things. Okay, learn this. Learn that. Learn the other. Another Bible story. Another Bible lesson. And then all of a sudden, I'm totally committed to God. I'm full of activity for Him. And the more I do, the more tired I get. And sometimes I feel worse about the Lord after doing so much. That would be growth on the human level with too much self-reliance. No river of life in that picture. Okay, giving you the fellowship that your soul longs for. And so God wants us to get away from that. And instead, just like we turn to Him for salvation, we turn to Him for growth with the same desperation, with the same sense of need, with the same poverty of spirit. We say, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I better surrender to Him, or I'm going nowhere fast. And so the Lord would do that for us. A more healthy picture of spiritual growth, so that in all things we grow up into Him who is Christ, is pictured here, having to do with how God is working in our soul and in our character. We start off by being selfishly unloving, not just a skeptic. Okay, and you might say, well, it sounds like me even as a Christian. Without the Spirit and the river of life leading you, this is where you and I will be. Selfishly unloving. That's it. That's our autobiography. And then we're converted by turning to Christ. And then we begin to grow in our character as Christ shares His heart and His mind set with us. We grow in grace and gratitude. Great Bible teachers have said the essence of the gospel is the grace of Christ. A gift, you know, that we would turn to God for with empty hands and embrace Christ. And the essence of discipleship is gratitude. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, I want to do it because I'm so glad about who God is and what He did for me that I want to get to know Him better. I want to follow Him more nearly, love Him more dearly, and those things. Growing in grace and gratitude is a part of, you know, the motivation God would bring out from the river of life. And then, as we're really yielded to God, we become radiantly loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, full of goodness and self-control. You know, there's strength there. It's not just like a nirvana, you know, check your mind out at the door type experience. It's strength from God, the river producing life. When you think of God's work in your life, someone years ago said that when we yield to God and say, Lord, I surrender, would your Holy Spirit fill me and be the river of life that I need in my life? The Holy Spirit in our lives goes from resident in us to president, to being in charge and making decisions that we're willing to follow. Now, we're all concerned about the president on a human level. You know, probably not a week goes by that you hear something about the president, what he's doing, what he's not doing, and whether you're willing to follow him or not follow him. And some of you get real excited about that. In a similar manner, somebody, a president who's going to do much more for you than a human president, is the Holy Spirit. And He will lead if you will surrender. And He will give life if you would turn to Him and say, I'm as impoverished without God as I was when I was lost. And I need Him in my life. And yielded to God, surrender to God. And in an unconscious way, with God's work in your life, when people see you, do they say, you know, worker in the neighborhood or the family life, hey, that person, they're radiantly loving, joyful, peaceful, and patient. I mean, that's just their character. It could be true with Christ. That's certainly the way Jesus was. And when they see a group of believers together, they say that Norwin Alliance Church, they're pretty good in a couple of ways, but they are a, you know, radiantly loving, joyful, peaceful, patient fellowship. The river of life produces that. Self-effort or self-reliance produces other things. So spiritual growth from God makes all the difference. A couple questions you could ask yourself that would help you see, are you relying on yourself or relying on the Spirit for spiritual growth? Am I growing more or less patient as a person? That's a great practical question. God is patient. That's His character. Jesus is patient. He was very patient with His disciples. You know, are you patient? Because that river of life is given you the life that you don't have? Am I growing more or less joyful, prayerful, and thankful? There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, be joyful at all times, pray in all circumstances, and in everything give thanks. Okay, could you say, yeah, that's the way I live. I'm just a joyful, prayerful, thankful kind of person. The Holy Spirit would do that for you and I if we would turn to Him. God would never command something of us that He could not supply. And joyful, thankful, and prayerful, that's not just a smiley face. It's a heart headed in the right direction of following Jesus. So that's a great question to ask. Another great question to ask, is Jesus more or less often on my mind? You know, when you get excited about an event or you get excited about another person, usually they're in the back of your mind all the time. Also, it's been said, that which upsets you the most, okay, it has you fly off the handle the most, sometimes that is taking the place of Jesus in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so upset about it. That's the big idol that has not come through for you. And if you and I are grieved, we should only be intensely grieved or upset or angry if there's sin in our lives. That's when we should be most broken, not the other. So, is Jesus more or less often on my mind? Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Christ. Fix your thoughts on Christ. Lord, with your help, help me not to have you off of my thought pattern. You could function real well in that way. Psalm 16:8, David said, I have set the Lord before me at all times. You know, just saying, well, I'll think about God. And He'll be a river of life for me. He'll set me free. And God begins to work as we yield. Who leads? Who follows? The only way to freedom is surrender to Christ. John Ortberg uses the example of he wanted to get some exercise and spend some time with his wife, so he and her took up ballroom dancing. Okay, so they never did that before. Dancing wasn't in their background. So the first thing the instructor said was, this is what you do. And the instructor said, who's going to lead and who's going to follow? And they worked that out right away. Okay, one leads, one follows. That was great. And then they started to move the way you're supposed to move. And look at that. Health in action, you know. There it was. And in our walk with God, when it comes to home life, work life, friendships, church life, finances, who leads and who follows? And all of us, if we had known the goodness of the Lord, we say, hey, the Lord leads. The Lord leads. And we follow. We follow. And when we do, life from God. Jesus gives a promise that all of us are hesitant about. From within us flow streams of living water. You mean life? Life all the time. Spiritual death minimized. Life from God. Something He could only produce. And if we hesitate from that, if we don't want to surrender to Christ, we should ask ourselves the question, is God really more attractive to us and to our heart than that which we think would make us happy? Oh, I'll really be a together person if this happens in my life. What is that idol? That idol is going to let you down. Jesus would say, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have darkness, but you'll have the light of life. And so the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And just an opportunity this morning to be a decision maker in your soul and say, I wonder if I'm surrendered to Christ. Jesus talked about this river of living water. And Am I leading in life or am I following Jesus? If I'm leading, then I can die to self. Gary Smalley, he talked to a bunch of guys one time. He had a casket here, and when you have a casket, you say goodbye and you commit to God, you know, your loved one. He laid down in the casket and he said, you know, with God's help, goodbye to me, blessed riddance, but up out of the casket and a new life following God. In your soul, you could do that, surrendering to Christ. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to Him and drink. And if you believe in Him, there will be streams of living water coming from within. So would you like to be fully alive? Surrender to the Lord today. A.B. Simpson said this. He said, and he was like really, you know, he was a tiger. He said, cease from self-worth. Now he's talking to Christians. Cease from self-work and receive Christ's overflowing life and love. Then holy love and the fruit of the Spirit will come out of your heart. And those are things that our efforts can never attain or never produce. And to me, the best way I understand it as a Christian, you know, struggling Christian and all these verses God gives us, is that when I need the Lord and to be filled with Him, I turn to Him with the same heart that I do when I turn to Him in salvation. I say, yep, this is it. This is who I really need, Christ. Make that choice in salvation. And for a growing Christian, you say, yes, really, really do need Him. He'll have to produce in me what I can't produce in myself. And He will give me life when I'm connected to other Christians like those redwoods. Every ligament doing its part, built up in love, growth from Him. And might we bow in prayer, and you surrender your life to the Lord if you'd like His river of living water coming through you and in your life. Let Him flow into areas in your life that are really broken, in need of healing, massive amount of frustration. You might be so angry about that part because that part of your life has been more important to you than the Lord. He would come and bring life and put it in its proper place under Him. So let's pray together silently. Thank you, Lord, that the gift of God is life forever with Jesus Christ our Lord. In a similar manner, Lord, spiritual life, life in the river and life in the Spirit is a true gift that we could yield to and surrender to, and You would walk with us each day. Doesn't mean we'd be super saints. It's just we'd be grateful saints. And perhaps that would be a huge improvement for many of us. So work your good work in us. Let's help us see the poverty of our own soul without You. And might the Spirit of strength and love and holiness just grow in influence through our lives and through Your dear church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand as we sing, Have Thine Own Way.